All right, our next storyteller is Elizabeth Davis. Elizabeth is an Alaskan artist and educator who grew up in Juneau and was raised by the generous theater community. Her journey in education began when she was working as a paraprofessional at Harborview Elementary after dropping out of university and becoming a single mom. The teaching staff insisted she quit that job and get a teaching degree. Their belief in her led her to serve 25 years in public education, with her last and most favorite job being the principal of Coctaguwuhin for 7 years. We truly enjoyed her. She was so wonderful. She retired for a whole 9 months before joining the team at the Juneau Public Library. Although she misses her beloved KHE family, she loves the calm of the library and that she can still connect with lots of people. Her latest big project is turning the living room of her home, the Red House, into a creative space for the arts community to use. Let's welcome up Elizabeth.
So before I get started, I did want to take a moment to acknowledge the teachers and the staff of Coctaguwuhin that are in the audience. It was my most favorite job ever, and they are the most amazing teachers, mission-driven and dedicated. So, gunishchish to you. So, about 3 years ago, our youngest, Arlo, it was his birthday, and he was the only one left in the house. All the other kids had flown the coop, and he really wanted a cat for his birthday. And he's like, Mom, can I have a cat for my birthday? And Roblin and I looked at each other, and we're like, how about a dog? Because we're a little cat-averse. So he relented, and we started the search for a dog. And we knew we didn't want a puppy, so we were looking at different shelters. And you know, when you're looking for something, you can never find it. There were no decent dogs out there to adopt. We were getting really frustrated, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and his birthday was coming up. And then, like magic, there was an email in my inbox from the kennel where we had gotten our perfect, beautiful, very smart, sort of well-trained border collie that we had had for the last 5 years. And this email said, hey, I have these one-year-old males that have been hanging around in the barn. I wasn't able to sell them as puppies, and they're just getting too big for their britches. I need to get rid of them. So if any of you who already own one of our dogs wants one of these dogs, you can have them for free. You just have to pay to get them to you. And I was like, sweet, sold, I got one of those dogs. I missed all the red flags in that email. So I get down to Seattle to get the dog because it flew from Kansas, and I'm down in baggage claim, and there's the dog, and I'm so excited, and I go over and I open the thing because I'm thinking the dog's gonna come out, and we're gonna have a big love fest, and the dog is like in a little teeny tiny ball in the way back of this giant kennel, shivering and looking at me with eyes that are like, please don't hurt me, please don't hurt me. And I was like, what? I'm just gonna take you for a pee. And the dog would not come out of the kennel. I ended up crawling into the kennel and pulling on his legs, which then caused quite a stir in baggage claim, and I thought people were gonna call me in. And so I ended up having to pick up the kennel and just dump him out unceremoniously on the floor, and he's like, ah. And I scooped him up and I carried him outside all the way down to the other end of, you know, SeaTac, where the little relief center is. And I had to wait a half an hour for him to pee. And then when he did start peeing, it took like a half an hour because he'd been holding it for 7. So, yeah, this was not going the way I wanted. We got him home, and he stayed in his crate for the first couple weeks. He wouldn't come out unless we put the leash on him and coaxed him out. He shivered every time we tried to pet him. He didn't make a sound. He was the most silent dog I've ever met. In fact, I thought perhaps like he didn't have vocal cords. I didn't know. And I was ready to give up. I thought, you know, this isn't going the way I expected. This isn't the dog we wanted. But then, you know, every time I walk in the room, he would just follow me around with those big brown eyes. And one day, His little tail was like, whack, 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 whack. And I thought, okay, maybe instead of focusing on what I want, I should just give him some time. Because with all my principal training, I knew he was an amygdala hijack, right? He had flipped his lid. He had no thinking brain anymore, and he was like completely frozen. So what he needed was love and attention and care and time. So we gave him that. And I started cuddling with him every day, even when he was like frozen, and talking to him and singing to him. And we knew we were making progress when he moved from the crate to our bed, right on top of my pillow, all day long. It's where he lived. That was his job, to protect my pillow. His next job that he gave himself was to gather up all the dirty socks and make a little protective ring around himself on the bed. And eventually, he got to where at 5 o'clock in the morning, he would come out with me because no one else was awake in the house, and he would sit on the couch with me, and we would drink tea and do the New York Times puzzles. Now, you know, healing is a long journey, and it never is smooth or linear. So Dutch has panic attacks, and when he has a panic attack, he just bolts. He's very fast. He reminds me of that other dog. They probably hung out a few times. And the most recent time that Dutch had a panic attack, he was up at Eagle Crest, and he took off. And every day we drove up there to look for him. You know, you just get up there, and it's so huge. And I was convinced that he had run all the way to the other side of Douglas, and we were never going to see him again. Either that or he fell in one of those mud holes, you know, and he just disappeared down there. So we slept up there every night. On the last day, we tried something that a friend suggested, and we actually peed all the way around the parking lot. But it worked. It totally worked. And out he slunk, and I think that this time up at Eagle Crest was like his outward bound experience, because he was a little more confident. He had a little like strut that he was doing now. He would walk around the house. That was exciting. At 5 a.m., he would go out in the yard and stand there like Mufasa until somebody showed up, and then he would run back in the house. But I think he also learned that we would always look for him, no matter what. So Dutch gave me a gift, and that is that he chose me to be his creature comfort. Yeah. Also, he taught me that sometimes you just have to be patient, and you have to sit quietly, and you have to accept people where they're at and love them no matter what. We also got Arlo a cat. Thank you.
I'm glad you were patient and you didn't try the P tactic at SeaTac. That would have been the weirdest thing I've seen at SeaTac.